Sign up. Sign up, everybody. It's really interesting to be in the presence of Swami, especially to be here in Region 5, which I consider my home region. When I first came to the United States, I was looking to see how there would be anywhere Swami would be so far away from India. I had no idea about Sai centers or Sai samitis and even what do the devotees do outside of India. Oops, it's going to fall, I think. You might want to... So the first time I saw Swami here in America was when I went to the Sathya Sai Baba Center in Columbus, Ohio. Just to give you a brief about my background with Swami. As a young child, I grew up in the fold of Swami. My mother, she was devoted, and my father, they were both devoted to Baba. My sister used to sing bhajans. And so, my sister was my bhajan teacher. And I owe all my love for bhajans and music to my family. I'm very grateful to Swami for having shown himself to me when I was a young boy. Because my mother pointed to Swami's picture and said, "This is God, you follow him and you ask him whatever you want." She didn't say ask me or ask your dad, she said ask him. And believe it or not, from that day I believed her and I would do the same. I always would ask Swami for everything. I remember talking to Swami about things which I didn't share with anybody else. He was my best friend, my guide. I could argue with him. I could speak to him. I could do anything with him, which I couldn't do with anybody else. He was always patient with me. As I grew up, I wasn't the most straightforward, narrow path kind of a person. I was, I would say, a truant child from Swami's perspective. I would try different things. You could call me Curious George. I was very curious, and what I was reminded of, sometimes in the airport, you see a mother has a string attached to the child. I don't know if you've seen that, right? And then they have a backpack on the kid and then they have a long string. Like, not like the dog, but a different kind. And that's the picture I have with Swami. I had a string that was in his hand and I would wander around with confidence that he would come and pull me back again when it was time. So it's always been my experience to be close to Swami, but yet wander far. And with that faith and confidence in Him, that He will ultimately guide and direct me to be where I need to be. Coming back to my story about the first time in Columbus, Ohio. So I had no idea there was Sathya Sai Baba centers, and I didn't know that there was such a big region when I came. And so one day I went for a bhajan in somebody's home. It was like a temple function. And so I went there and they asked everybody to sing, if anybody can sing, to sing. So I sang, He Vishwanath, He Gaurinath, He Sai Nath Bhagavan, Daya Karo, Daya Karo, Daya Karo Bhagavan. Vishwanath He Gaurinath, He Sai Nath Bhagavan. When we finished the bhajan, one of the Sai devotees who was present there, she came up to me and said, "Are you a Sai devotee?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Will you please come? We have a center and we meet every week." I said, "Sure, I'll come." And from that day onwards, I started getting into the Sai family of America. I've had a wonderful time. I'm very, very fond of all of the elders here who have guided me. I would like to pay special tribute to and also to respects to Dr. Ram Bala, who has been a mentor and teacher for me. I have to say this because I was to be afraid of singing. I was not a singer. I didn't learn any music. And so the first time when these bhajans used to come to me, and I was to come for this retreat. It was a Sai retreat in Region 5. It was in Detroit. And Dr. Ram Bala was the regional devotional coordinator at that time. And he asked all of the singers to submit an audition, some recording of theirs. I didn't know that nobody submitted, but I did. I took my cassette, I recorded it on a cassette, and I took it to his home, and I gave it to him. And he was very kind to listen, and he gave me feedback. And then he would ask me to sing during the retreats. Every retreat, every bhajan, they would put one song. And that's how the music that Swami chose to give through me, it would come because of uncle's encouragement and love. I'm very grateful to all of you who are here, who know me, and who have been with me when I was here. I was here between the early years of 90s and till 98. And we had many, many good times. Very, very fond memories of being here in this region. Just to conclude that portion, you can put it on the slideshow if you don't mind. So one of the things I learned, the first thing I learned from Swami, was never sit in the back. When I came here to this hall, I saw everybody sitting in the back and I'm supposed to sit in the front. So this is a lesson I learned very, very early in my life and childhood. And my sister was instrumental in teaching me. She said, if you want Swami, then why you want to stay behind? Go forward and be with him and be confident. Also, the other thing for me was I would get distracted. In those days, we didn't have harmonium and tabla and guitar or anything. We just have to sing. And there was a talam. And there was not only one talam. Everybody would have one talam. So the rhythm was very difficult to keep. And shruti is very difficult because somebody will start on some song. The previous song will be on a very high shruti. And I would sit there like this and remember the third line of the bhajan because it will go to the high note. And then I would prepare mentally. And so this was my exercise, and so I preferred to sit in front because I was comfortable with Swami, and if Swami criticizes me, it is okay. But I wasn't comfortable with other people saying things about me, so it's much better for me to sit in front and be yelled at by Swami than anyone else. So you can just close that. Swami, you are my heart and soul. You are my path and goal. You are the goal of my life, and you are the path itself. You've taught me everything, and you continue to teach me and guide me. You continue to be with me even though I may choose not to look at you. You never give up on me, even in spite of all the faults that I may have. You're always kind and polite, always loving and sharing, and most of all, you have faith in me. You have faith that one day I will make it, that one day I will realize who I am, and one day I will be able to live my life in true harmony with my nature. Please come forward. Yeah, that would be good. It feels like I'm in some... I'll tell you another reason why you want to come forward. One of my children... Yeah, wherever you want. Come, please come. The first time I went... Yeah, that's good. The first time I went to Puttaparthi, the first darshan, before going for darshan, I went for the Nagar Sankirtan, right? And I had no idea what I was doing. I just went for the Nagar Sankirtan and I saw there was a big line and there was nobody in the front, just like this. There's a big empty space in the front and there's a long group of people in the back. I said, hey, this is just like everywhere else that I've seen. They're shy to come forward, so I'll go and stand in front. So I went and stood in the front. Nobody came for a while. But after some time, some people came and stood in the front. So then slowly somebody asked me, are you staff? I said, huh? I didn't know what staff meant, except a stick. So I said, I don't think so. So he said, go back. So I went back. So then after some time, some people started coming there. And they said, are you student? No. Go back. So then they sent me back. Then I went back and there was the devotees, right? So they said, did you come and did you get first row? No. Go back. So from the front, I went all the way to the back. And after that, I never went for Nagar Sankirtan again. Actually, because if you go for Nagar Sankirtan, you'll get delayed in getting in the line for darshan. And so then, you know, it's what is the trade-off between Nagar Sankirtan and darshan? It's a no contest, right? So that's the story of hanging back. But here's the contrary to that, right? Since we have chairs in the back, not in the front. So I was in Kodaikanal in 2006 and it was a wonderful experience. Maybe I'll share some stories about that. But one day they had seated all the people and there was these, you know, super VIPs. There was the princess of Belgium and stuff. We had no idea, but we were sitting next to really, I mean, super VIPs. And they were all expecting Swami would come. But Swami didn't show up in the front. Where was he? We didn't know where he was. Actually, where he was just outside the door. There were some devotees there, Russian devotees, and he was talking to them. They couldn't come in because they didn't get the token number one, and they were not a VIP. They were just devotees who came from very, very far away for one time in their life, their entire life. They could only come once, and they were waiting outside far away. And that's where Swami chose to be. And so they called them, their group, for an interview. And then he went away for the interview. And all of us were sitting in the front. So it doesn't mean that if you're in the front, Swami will come to you. It could be that you're anywhere in the hall and Swami will come to you. So that's the story about being in the front. In this it says, I don't know if you're able to read, turn your mind towards God and you are free. Turn it towards the world and you are bound. Turn your mind towards God and you are free. Turn it towards the world and you are bound. So, my experiences with Swami have been like that of Ekalavya, to be able to watch from far. Dur darshan. Sometimes it's good, you know. If you get close to the fire, it gets really hot. But not by choice. But it so happened that Swami gave the darshan from far. So I also want to listen to Dr. to Geeta Ram. So if you get a chance, please include me also. I also want to sit and listen. I love and enjoy her experiences, and they're just so beautiful. So being able to watch Swami from far, I learned to cherish every moment, every single opportunity. I would look forward to it eagerly and await to see him, not only in his physical presence, but to see him in all beings everywhere. And so the message that Swami gave, that man is God, or with love man is God, is very true. And recently I have been traveling a lot, and maybe I can share some of the stories from that. But that is the point, that man is God. If we can see him in ourselves and in others, then we will be able to see him all the time. Man is also born to be greater than just an animal. We are not here just to be live our lives, to eat and to sleep and to enjoy and to suffer the sufferings that we may have. We are here to serve. We are here to serve those who are in need and to be an instrument of Swami. This power of love has been invested in us. It is not a coincidence that we are all here today. It has been Swami who has selected all of us to be present in his divine presence. There's so many things we could be doing, and we could be in different places this long weekend, but we choose to be here at this Sathya Sai conference and to be with Swami. This investment that we make will never go wasted. Any effort we put by turning our mind towards God is never wasted. We may sometimes feel, oh Swami, I've been thinking of you so much, I've been meditating for so long, I've been singing so many bhajans, but I don't see any difference. Maybe it's my past karma, right? Maybe I'm going through my karma. We have many thoughts and feelings. But honestly speaking, every moment we spend with God is one moment you don't spend with the world. And that's progress towards realizing who we are. Once you cross the threshold of that realization, then it doesn't matter anymore, because you yourself become the beacon of light for everybody. So maybe we'll go to the next slide. Tripura Sundari Ma Ambadaya Sadari Ma Sundaravadani Ma Amba Suguna Manohari Ma We'll sing this song and then continue. Tripura Sundari Ma Ambadaya Sagari Ma Tripura Sundari Ma Ambadaya Sagari Ma Sundara Vadani Ma Amba Suguna Manohari Ma Sundara Vadani Ma Amba Suguna Manohari Ma Jaya Jagajanani Ma Amba Jagatodharini Ma Partinivasini Ma Amba Papa Vimochani Ma Puttaparthi Nivasini Ma Amba Papa Vimochani Ma Tripura Sundari Ma Amba Daya Sagari Ma Sundara Vadani Ma Amba Suguna Manohari Ma Jaya Jagajanani Ma Amba Jagatodharini Ma Partinivasini Ma Amba Papa Vimochani Ma Partinivasini Ma Amba Papa Vimochani Ma Tripura Sundari Ma Amba Daya Sagari Ma If I say to you that bhajan can teach you everything you need to know in life, would you believe me? For me, that's true. Everything, physics, chemistry, mathematics, biology, whatever logic, everything you can learn from bhajan. Do you believe me? No? It's true. Maybe some other time, remind me to talk about it. I learned early on if you don't get to see Swami physically enough, then yearn for Him and see Him wherever you see. Wherever you look, see Him there. Yearn for God like you're going to die next day. This is what I learned. Because I couldn't see Him in Puttaparthi or in Vrindavan that much. So, I used to look for Him everywhere. Wherever I went, I would look for Swami. And so, because of this yearning, a lot of things came to me. Unknown to me, these songs would come. Sometimes they were in Hindi, in those days I used to be more comfortable in Hindi. I never knew English. I didn't even know there were songs in English. So I'm surprised that an Indian boy playing a guitar and singing in English. It's really strange. Back in those days, it was quite unheard of and kind of weird. I was the odd one out. So it is strange because it doesn't happen normally. But it also goes to show how Swami can do anything. He can make a person who's mute, He can make them speak. He can make the blind see. He can make anything into anything. Anything is possible. If I yearn for Him enough, anything would be possible. So I learned to play the guitar by sitting in front of His picture and just praying and listening to what He says. That's how I learned to play all the instruments, including the harmonium. I was sick when my mother had gifted me a harmonium, but I didn't know how to play other than just pressing a few keys. One week I was very sick and stayed at home. I couldn't do anything but think of Swami all day long. And I was just crying to Him, "Swami, please do something. I need some way to get through this." And so then I saw the harmonium there sitting in the corner. I pulled it out and put it on a chair next to me. And I just prayed to Swami and started playing. And from that day I could play. So I know for a fact that Swami can do anything because I've experienced it multiple times. And this was one of the first songs that came to me. Sai, You are my heart and soul. You are my path and goal. You make my life whole and complete. You give Your love to me. Born in this world in the name of Sai, hold on to Him if you can. So this is the point of this song. Is Swami told that there are different types of devotion. And if you look at the animals, you will see the different types of devotion and relationship between the mother and child. So by the way, here's a plug for tomorrow afternoon. We have a costume ball. Please come and join. You will really, really enjoy it. I will tell you more about it. But you're going to see unusual people in costumes. It's actually the animals have invited the human beings to a world conference and they have a question that they're going to ask. And so the children are going to be the animals. The human beings are going to be the human beings. Hopefully you have some costumes here. I have mine. And please come. Please come. So, in the animal kingdom, there are different types of relationships between mother and child. So, if you look at some mother-child relationship, as soon as the child is born, it has to fend for itself. Like the giraffe. The giraffe baby falls 6 feet down from the giraffe mother is standing. It's not sitting down to deliver the baby. The baby has to drop 6 feet, and that's for a good reason, because when it hits the ground, it gets stimulated. Its heart starts beating. But that's the way of the giraffe mother. She says, "Come with me, or you're food for some other predator." So you've got to follow the mother and keep up. If you don't keep up, you'll be left behind. There is the monkey. The baby monkey has the responsibility to hold on to the mother monkey. If the mother monkey is jumping around, it doesn't bother whether the baby is actually holding on or not. It's the baby's responsibility. And the baby clings underneath the mother monkey like this and has to hold on really tight, because the mother is going to be jumping quite a bit. Then Swami said, there's the cat and the kitten. If you look at the cat, the mother cat comes and picks the kitten gently with its mouth without harming it with the teeth. And it goes and places it where the kitten needs to be. And the kitten, all it does is, does mew, mew, mew. And the mother comes and picks it up and puts it somewhere else, brings food and milk and everything to it. So Swami said, be like the kitten with me. Be like the kitten with God. Trust and have faith in God and call on Him, and He will come to you to do what you need. He will fulfill all your needs. Have faith and confidence in Him. And that's what in this song he says. I said, hold on to Him if you can, because it's really hard. If you don't hold on, Swami told that if you are in front of me, be careful, I may not be behind you. If you're behind me, you may not be able to keep up with me. So be careful. Keep me by your side and hold my hand and walk with me. Walk with me. Go back. Go back.
Sai, you are my heart and soul.
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 You are my path and my goal. You make my life whole and complete. You give your love to me.
You make my life whole and complete. You give your love to me.
Sai, you make my life whole and complete. You give your love to me. Sai, you are my heart and soul.
Sai, you are my heart and soul.
Born in this world, in the name of Sai, hold on to Him if you can. He is born in this world, in the name of Sai, hold on to Him if you can. See Him in everything.
He is in one, He is in all. You can see Him in everything.
He is in one, He is in all. You can see Him in everything. You are my heart and soul.
You are my path and my goal.
You make my life whole and complete. You give your love to me.
You are my heart and soul.
Born in this world, in the name of Sai, hold on to Him if you can.
Born in this world, in the name of Sai, hold on to Him if you can.
is in one. He is in all. You can see Him in everything. Yes, He is in one. He is in all. You can see Him in everything. Sai, You are my heart and soul.
How much time do I have? Sorry. Another 40. Okay. So, if you hold on to Him, He will come and He will save you. Let me tell you a story of what happened. I was a PhD student and I spent a lot of time studying because my mother wanted me to study. So, those of you who are here, whose mothers want you to study, your fathers want you to study, follow them. You won't go wrong. So, when it was time for me to graduate to defend my thesis, I wanted Swami to be there because I was nervous, first of all. But more so, I wanted to deliver my talk to Swami. I wanted my degree from Swami. Now, I'm not a student who studied in Puttaparthi or in Whitefield like Murali. Where is Murali? So what should I do? Well, Swami did say He's everywhere, He's in everything, and He said, take me with you. So what I did was I had a transparency. In those days, we had slide transparency, we didn't have the PowerPoint with this thing. So I had a transparency with Swami's feet, and I kept that on top of my deck, and I held it with one hand all the time as I was delivering my talk. So for 2.5 hours I was speaking, and at the end, there was a committee of professors. And there was my committee from my department, and then there was an external advisor who came, who was assigned by the graduate school. In order for you to graduate, everybody has to agree that you've met the requirements, right? So there's always the chance that the external advisor may not agree, because the rest of the committee has read your report beforehand. So after 2.5 hours, and he looked like he was sleeping most of the time, but after 2.5 hours he seemed to wake up and he says, so what is all this about anyway? I'm like, oh God. So fortunately for me, I was holding Swami's feet the entire time. I didn't move my right hand at all. I only used my left hand to move the slides. Somebody might have thought, what is this boy doing, something strange? And also I had a chair for Swami, and I kept a picture of Swami in the room, and nobody said anything. You know how he is. If he wants to be anonymous, he will be anonymous, even if you have his presence in a large picture. So here I was facing the worst nightmare of a graduate student, being asked by the external advisor, what is your thesis all about anyway? And so I was about to open my mouth and speak. Thank goodness I didn't. I just held on to Swami's feet. Believe it or not, for the next 45 minutes, my entire committee started talking at the same time and attacking this external advisor. I didn't even know what they were saying. Meaning to say, they were so animated about my PhD thesis, it seemed like they had written the thesis themselves. So they spent 45 minutes talking among themselves, and then they realized I was still in the room. So my professor said, oh, you're still here? You step outside. So I stepped outside, and he came out after another half an hour. So they discussed for an hour and a half. I'm like, so anyway, they convinced him, and he came out and said, you're done. He signed my paper and he gave it to me. Actually, a week before that, there's a story. A week before that, what happened was my advisor, till a week before, he was saying, he was giving me more red ink in my corrections than black ink that I had typed. So there was more corrections than the text that I typed. So he said, you're not ready. But I'll tell you the story about what happened to change that. I'll tell you that later. But anyway, so I got the paper, it's signed, and I'm supposed to graduate. So by then it was past 5 o'clock, and it was the last day that you could defend in order to graduate that semester. And my parents were already here, and everybody was waiting for me to finish. So when I went to the graduate school, it was closed. There's nobody who's going to be there on a Friday evening at 5 o'clock. Nobody. So if I don't submit the paper then I don't graduate. So what do I do? I was holding on to this paper with Swami's feet under that. I went and knocked on the door. I said, if you are God, you will be inside. Open up. Sure enough, somebody opened the door. And they said, oh, you've come to give your paper? I was waiting for you. They took the paper and closed the door. That was how I finished my thesis and graduated on time. Little did everybody know in the center, because they were hoping I wouldn't graduate and leave. So so Swami, I know he can do anything. He can make impossible things happen. And if we hold on to him, then your life will be changed forever. It'll not be what we expect. It'll be different. But if you hold on to him, surely he will come to you. Recently, for the last 1 year, I've been going to Colombia, South America. And I went there because one of my close Sai brothers, Jatin Desai, I don't know if you know him, from Connecticut, he invited me to go last November to help him teach a course on innovation to companies in Colombia. The first month that we went was last year in November, and on the second day he had a stroke, and within 2 days he passed away. Unfortunately, he merged with Swami. For us, unfortunately, because he's a most wonderful, wonderful person. And since then, I got to go every month to work on what he has left for us to continue his work. And I got to go to the center there in Medellin, Colombia. It's a city in the mountains, in a valley. It's about 4 million people. There's a Sai center, and also there is a home for abandoned children, run by a lady there, very devoted to Swami, and she runs a home there for children. So anyway, the center, the Sai center, they rent a home dedicated for Swami, and the government had possessed the home, meaning it was taken away from some bad people. And since then, every year for the last 11 years, the government has been trying to sell that house. Unfortunately, they've not been able to sell it. And they wonder why. Swami is there. Somebody is not letting them sell the home. Every year they come and say that we're going to sell it, but they're not able to sell it. So that's where the Sai Center is. But in that neighborhood, there were some not so good characters. And they would sit on the corner. And one day they came and knocked on the center. The president lives right across. And they came and knocked, and they said, can you tell us who this person is? Every Thursday, they have bhajans on Thursdays from 7 to 8. Every Thursday around 8:05, 8:10, there's this one man. He's wearing an orange colored dress, and he has a funny hairstyle. And he walks out of your house and he comes straight down the street. Sometimes he waves to us. Sometimes he waves to us and sometimes he leaves. But he goes up this way, and every Thursday we've been seeing him. We don't know who he is. So when they came inside and saw, they were shocked. They said, yeah, this is him. So the center president's son, he said, are you intoxicated? Because it seems like strange you would find something like this. So he said, no. And he called two of his other friends and said, yeah, isn't this, yes, this is the person whom we see. Every Thursday in the night, they see Swami walking by and blessing them and going. Right? Who is a devotee and who is not a devotee? Is it for us to decide? No. It's for Swami to decide. So all we can do, I learned, is hold on and be with him and don't give up, and always be present in his presence, because you never know what happens. We'll go to the next one. You have to go one more. So this is a song that that came to me around 1994 here in Ohio. For 2 years, I didn't sing it anywhere except by myself. And in 95, thanks to Dr. Rambala, he would insist that I sing here. And Lakshmi, they would say, no, you've got to sing. So these songs came, I was comfortable enough to sing them. But it is a favorite song, one of my favorite songs. And Swami gave this quote. He said, "One need not make any special effort to acquire the human qualities of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa. They are with you right from your birth, but you have forgotten them as you have not put them into practice." Can you go to the next one? You just have to click the arrow. Yeah. So the story behind this song, I think somebody was asking me. So this is a song about self-confidence. And that's something I focus on with children and youth and others who are interested. Swami said self-confidence is in Sanskrit, this is called Atma Vishwas. It means confidence in the Atma, who is the Supreme Self, who is your true self. So self-confidence in popular vocabulary is known as, you know, physical strength. Going to the gym and, you know, you get do exercise and you feel fit and you're very confident. And if you're a football player, you're really confident. But then football players get knocked out too. So, but that's not the confidence, self-confidence that Swami talks about. Confidence in the self, that is our true nature and our true identity. This confidence is not easy, because we may think we have confidence, but then when it comes to the test, then we seem to fail. And so Hanuman, the greatest of devotees, qualified to be called a devotee of Lord Rama, he was sent by Lord Rama to go and search for Mother Sita. But even when he came to the ocean, he was dejected and said, "How am I going to cross this ocean? What should I do?" And it was then that his friends, they reminded him of his strength. They reminded him of who he was. "O Hanuman, you are the son of the wind god. When you were young, you defeated all these demons. And you even went and tried to catch the sun, thinking it's an orange. You had done so many things in your life, and this is nothing for you." And then they said, "You are a devotee of Lord Rama, and he has sent you." When he remembered, "Oh, Lord Rama has sent me, I'm sure he will give me the strength." And when he had that confidence in Lord Rama, who is his true self, then the rest of the story flows very smoothly, because he took a leap and continued to stay afloat. Such is the power of the strength in the Lord, and strength in our belief of that He is our true identity. So I will sing this song. Recently, when I have been traveling to this region 3 in Florida a lot because of my trips to Colombia, and by Swami's grace we were able to translate this song into Spanish. So for those who are Spanish speaking, if anybody here, let me know, I can give you the Spanish lyrics as well. Recuérdame, Sai, recuérdame, Sai, recuérdame, Sai, quién soy yo. So that's a new edition. We have a Spanish version of the song. There's actually a German version. And recently I heard the song being sung by the devotees from the Middle East. And so it makes me feel very happy that to see a song that actually brings everybody together. Shall we sing?
Remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord. Remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, who I am.
Remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord,
I am all, I am all, eternal Lord. I am all, eternal Lord. Through this life of distraction and of illusion, remind me, my Lord. I am truth, I am peace, divine bliss. Ananda Swarupa, He Prema Swarupa, remind me, my Lord. I am love, I am love, pure love.
I am love,
I am love, pure
love.
Remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord. I am home, I am home, eternal Lord. Through this life of distraction and of illusion, remind me, my Lord. I am truth, I am peace, divine bliss. Ananda Swarupa, He Prema Swarupa, remind me, my Lord. I am love, your love.
I am
love,
I am love,
your love.
I am love,
I am love, your love.
Remind me, my Lord, remind me, my Lord, who I am.
since somebody asked me about this song, about singing this, there's one line on this. When you sing Who I Am, make sure you don't give importance to the I and give importance to the Am. So if you know the notes of this song, you will note that the I and the Am are the same note. In people sing, they give one note higher to the I. They sing Who I Am. So when the devotees who listen, their mind, the I will be prominent. And that's exactly the opposite of what the song intends to communicate, that the I should be low and the who you are should be the one who, the truth should be the one that comes on top. So when we sing bhajans, remember I said you can learn everything you need to learn from bhajan. When you sing a bhajan, then it is a communication between you and God, and it's like a poem or a letter or a note or speaking with Swami. It has to be in harmony between what you intend to say and what you say should match. So that's when you intend to say, Swami, please grant me that I have confidence in my true self, not in this physical I, then the song also follows suit when you sing it. So just keep that in mind. I was speaking to the children today and I mentioned a story. Okay, we'll continue to the next slide. Thank you. I'll keep this for the evening. Go ahead, go to the next one. Next. Can you go forward one more? Okay. Yeah, go back. Thanks. Sorry. Go to the previous one. Oh, you went forward. If you hit the back arrow, it should go back. just the arrow keys will work. Seems like Swami wants the song. No, we'll go to the next one. I'll sing this in the evening. I think I have to sing in the evening too. I just came straight from the airport, so pardon me if I'm a little I always wanted to see Swami on the jhula. I know some of you have had that opportunity to see Swami on the jhula. Anybody here? Yeah? You've probably been there for birthday and you're able to watch. And the jhula is a very beautiful spiritual significance because Swami, He swings on the swing of our heart. And that is my true jhula where I experience Him. You know, in my heart. And this song reminds me of Swami on the chula. Geeta Aunty, Geeta Charnalia, she's the one who composed this bhajan, and I am grateful to her for giving me the chance to sing it. So when one thing I realized when with Swami is, once you invite Him into your life, then be prepared to swing on the swing, because it's not very easy and you may drop off the swing very easily if you slip. So you have to be you have to really hold on and stay with Him. So so let me give you a story about what happened 2006. So after finishing my PhD, I decided that I'm not going to touch any books anymore. So I closed all the books. I said, this is good enough. I spent a long time finishing my PhD. Swami, please. So, but you know how it is. For those of you who have uh, who are interested in learning, then after some time you feel the urge to learn again. So 10 years later, exactly 10 years later, about 10 years later, I felt the message Swami was saying, go and study. And he said, I want you to do an MBA. My communication with Swami is in my heart, and it doesn't matter where I am. I may be anywhere in the garden or wherever. One day I was in the locker room in the gym. I opened the locker door, and there I just had this experience of a song that came, flashed in my eyes and in my mind, and I quickly went home and wrote it down. That was my experience. One day I was in the garden and sitting on a park bench, and I had this vision of a group of young children who were marching past, and Swami was seated there on the throne, and they were marching past and they were singing this song. They had these beautiful sashes around their waist and something on their head, and they were marching past and they were singing this song, and the song just flashed in before me. Jai Jai Sai Gopal, Jai Jai Sai Gopal. This song just flashed in front of me and it just blew me over. So my conversations with Swami does not have a place or time. It doesn't have any particular space or a position in which I have to sit or anything. It just happens all the time. And so when I say that he said, go and do your PhD, I don't mean that I went to Puttaparthi and sat in darshan and or got an interview and he said, go do your PhD. Unfortunately, that is not my privilege. But anyway, he said, go do your PhD. And so I argued with him. I said, if you have to make me write an exam, I'm not going to do it. So I ain't writing any exam. So he said, look anyway. So I started looking. And well, guess what? The university in San Diego, which had just started at UCSD, they had a new program. And they said, if you have a PhD, you don't have to write the exam. Oh no, this is not good. So then I said, well, I don't think they're going to take my application because I don't really qualify for this MBA program anyway. So I sent the application and immediately the letter came back. You're signed up for the program. So I said then, oh no, Swami, I don't have money. This is too expensive. It's like $70,000. Where am I going to go for this money? Anyway, because he had prompted me, so I went to Kodaikanal that year. I just happened to go to Kodaikanal that year. And I took the letter, the admission letter, because I said, Swami, if you really want me to study, you better take the admission letter. For the last 10 years, he had not come near me at all. So there was no chance that he'll take a letter. Where is the chance? So I was pretty confident that it's not going to happen. Well, besides that, I had a knee surgery and I wasn't even able to bend my knee. So I had a walking stick and I couldn't even sit down. So even sitting on the chair was really painful. So when I went there, I was walking so slowly. My family said, are you sure you want to go for darshan? I said, are you kidding? Of course I'll go for darshan. But when I went inside the ashram and I saw the environment, I said, I'm not going to sit in the back bench. Remember what I said, I want to sit in the front. I ain't going to sit in the back. There's no chance. So I threw away the stick. I said, even if my foot breaks, it's okay. Better I sit in front than sit in the back where I can't have a chance to interact with him. So I sat down and my leg bent and it sat down. I didn't get up after that. I sat down and guess what? Swami came that day in the wheelchair and he came right and stood in front of me. And so I had these letters from the children. They had drawn some drawings and some letters from the devotees. And in the middle of that, I had put my admission letter. It was not on the top or anything. It was in the middle. And I had this stack of things which I kept. And when he came, I stood up and offered it to him. I said, Swami. I couldn't say anything. So he put his hand and said, very happy, very happy, very happy. And he left. So I was very happy that he said very happy and he didn't take the letter. This is good. I don't have to go and study again. But when I left and I looked through, my admission letter was gone. Everything else was there. So, long story short, I had to start studying. But I had no money. That's for the next time. Maybe I'll continue next time. I know we are out of time. So hopefully we'll get a chance to share again in Swami's love. And it's been a pleasure to come back again. I met Hari in July at Puttaparthi. I was attending the Satya Sai Education Conference. I have been asked to be on the Satya Sai World Foundation as part of the education committee. This is a committee of all big, very, very big people, Dr. Jum Sai and Dr. Pal Dal and all of these stalwarts in Sai education. And here I am, nobody. But that's where Swami wants me to be, I guess. So I was as part of the conference in Puttaparthi and got a chance to see the medical camp as well. It was very wonderful to see the Satya Sai education team from across the world. Around 300 people came. There are 33 Satya Sai schools around the world that are functioning, and they have many other schools that they're planning. There were schools that are being started in places like China and Russia, where it's very difficult. Indonesia, which is a Muslim country, very difficult to have programs there, but it is where Swami wants to be, and the Middle East as well. And so this is a wonderful opportunity we have to be with Swami and to be part of His mission. I pray to Him that He may give us the confidence, that the confidence not in Him in the orange robe, because that for sure everybody has, whether we have confidence or not, He has confidence in Himself. So it doesn't count. But that we have confidence in Him in us, that is the truth, that we have confidence in our own true experience, and we can enjoy and be in his divine light and spend our time not only for ourselves but for others. I just want to remind everybody that each one of us is a role model for the children who are behind us. So today, if you go around and see, you will find the children, they will be looking up to each of you and seeing what you do and how you behave. So when Swami said that the human values are just within us, we've forgotten, please take a moment to remember, especially when we are with the children, because they're very, very, they absorb everything that you say and take it for real. They take it as it is. They don't question. So it's very important that we serve as role models and be the shining lights for all these young children and young adults. And with Swami's grace and blessings, may He shower all His blessings on the devotees of this region. And may you have wonderful satsang and enjoy Swami's grace and bliss. Sai Ram, everybody. Thank you.